It's just more than what we say. Notice down in that same chapter, just a few more verses, verse 19. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. We can use that in the context. The demons believe, they say they know God, but it's not the same type of faith. Just saying I believe in Christ, just knowing the religious jargon, just singing the words of the hymn is not enough to claim that I have faith. There's a Gallup poll said that over 50,000 Americans claim to have faith in God. And that goes along with a lot of other statistics, a lot of other polls, and it's somewhere around 80 to 90% of Americans in our day and time believe in God, or they say they believe in God. But do you see a problem with those statistics? Do you see that there are some who profess and say they believe in God, but their lives are unchanged? When you look at people's lifestyles, when you look at the problems that we face in our world and in our country, you realize not everyone that has a fish symbol in the back of their car is a true Christian, right? There is this idea that we have a lot of professors and not necessarily a possessor, meaning one that does not live out the faith. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 27, notice what it says. Not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, even reminds, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven. Not everyone who says they have faith are people of faith. See, faith is not something we just say. But number two, faith is just not something you feel. How do you feel this morning? How do you feel about your faith? The Bible reminds us that faith is not a feeling. In James chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, James continues this discussion about faith. And he reminds us it is not just a feeling. Sometimes as Christians, I don't feel good. I'll be honest, my sinuses are acting up this morning, and I have a hard time breathing, and maybe you're in that boat too. I don't feel up to par, as we might say, and maybe you don't either. But does that minimize my faith? Does that take away my faith in Almighty God? Certainly not. See, sometimes living a Christian life doesn't mean we feel good. It doesn't mean that everything is peachy and rosy. Notice the people in Hebrews chapter 11. As the writer talks about all these people of faith and the struggles and the trials they go through, notice in verse 36 through 37 what he has to say. Now, these are people of faith. Still others had trials of mocking and scourgings. Yes, of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They were wandering about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Does that sound like a good time? Does it sound like those people felt good about their faith? And yet the Bible reminds us these are people of faith. These are people who endure tremendous obstacles and trial in order to be able to long for that eternal home. They believed in Almighty God. They believed in His words. They believed in His actions. They believed in what He was doing. And yet they endured mockings and scourgings and chains and imprisonments. They were tortured. They were persecuted and in many cases martyred. Notice these people of faith did not probably feel good at the moment. These people of faith suffered, they were mistreated, and they died painful deaths because of their faith. Paul the Apostle was a great man of faith. No one would argue that. But as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 16 through 33, he records all the trials and all the persecutions, the stonings, the shipwrecks, the destitute things that he endured for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I doubt if he felt good in those moments, but he is still a man of faith. He is still a person who honored God and lived for God and was going through all these trials for God. Too many times, feelings get confused with faith. I don't doubt that sometimes we feel good. I've had some of the best feelings I've ever had assembling with the saints. But it doesn't mean I am faithful. I've heard people have heard a good speaker or a motivational song leader, and they say, wow, God was really working tonight. Or they say, really, it is really a spiritual evening. I don't doubt that a motivational song leader or a preacher can help us think and see things differently in Scripture sometimes and help us draw nearer to God. But that's not the basis of our faith. See, when we are moved by a sermon or we are moved by a song leader and our quiver, our liver is in a quiver, it doesn't mean we have faith. Just because I feel good doesn't mean I have faith or that faith is taking place. See, the sad thing about it is I don't always feel like a Christian. And my Christianity and faith are not based on feelings. If at 1 o'clock in the morning the phone rings and I get up and I answer the phone and I'm out of a good night's sleep, or I get up in the middle of the night and I stub my toe and I have all kinds of negative feelings at that moment, it doesn't mean I'm less of a Christian than when I went to bed. See, faith is not just something we feel. Feelings change, and feelings are fluctuate from good and bad. Depends on what we ate, and depends on what our how we feel from whether it's allergies or the flu or whatever. My Christianity is not based on feelings. Not only is our faith not a feeling, but neither is our salvation. When you think about what Jesus did, when you think about him going to the cross, it didn't feel good. As he is sitting there praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's in great anguish and pain. He is getting ready to go and take the sins of the world on. And as we read the account of Jesus being trailed, his denial, and going to the cross, it doesn't feel very good. In fact, as we go on, we see that he was abandoned by his closest friends. He was denied by Peter. He was betrayed by Judas. He was mocked. He was spit upon, scourged, punched, pierced on the cross, and died. And that doesn't feel good. In Hebrews chapter 12, we see that it was a shame of the cross that Jesus endured. And the Bible reminds us, if we are to be people of faith, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And this will not feel good. See, faith is not based, church, is not based on my feelings. Sometimes circumstances don't feel good. Sometimes I don't feel good. And sometimes I may even be persecuted for the sake of Christ, which may not feel good. But number three, real faith is not something you think. Some believe that faith is something we think. There are a lot of theological debates about the things that we think. And people will think a lot of things about the Bible. But notice this, one of the great examples of faith in the Old Testament is Abraham. In fact, he is recorded in the New Testament as even being a man of faith. And yet, as we read about Abraham in the Old Testament and the New Testament as a man of faith, notice he just didn't think about God. He just didn't sit around and debate and think about all the things and wonderful things about God and his plan of salvation and his covenants. And he was a doer. As so with the people in Hebrews chapter 11. As we read this chapter in Hebrews chapter 11 about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Moses and even Abraham and others, they didn't sit around just thinking. The whole point of Hebrews chapter 11 is faith is active. They did something. They worshiped and honored God. They offered a better sacrifice. They built an ark. They did something. They traveled to a country they didn't even know they were going to, except God told them to go. They endured difficult situations, all because they were acting out their faith. See, when we obey God, when we understand who God is and take his word to heart and follow it, that is faith. Too many times I hear in a Bible class, I think that this is. Faith is not based on what I think or what you think. It's not based on all our thinking put together. See, we can have wrong thinking. The Bible points us out in a number of places. Here's a couple of examples. In John chapter 16 and verse 2, Notice what it says. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. Notice what Jesus says here in John, that some people will think that they are serving God when they persecute you, when they torment you, when they kill you. And so Jesus is telling us that people will have wrong thinking about their service to God. And so history is full of people with wrong thinking about God. And Jesus' words have come true over and over throughout history. There have been people put genuine, faithful, godly people to death thinking they were serving God. One example is Saul. Remember Saul in Acts chapter 9? We see in chapter 7 and chapter 8, he is persecuting Christians. He thought he was serving God. He had wrong thinking. But notice also Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts?" See, sometimes our thinking is evil. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4, we see that the religious leaders had evil thoughts. Jesus knew their thoughts. I don't know your thoughts, but Jesus knows our thoughts. And Jesus teaches us that people can think evil in their hearts. The heart is trained to think whether good or evil, depending on what we allow to influence our hearts, our minds, our whole inner person. And what we put in our minds will reflect in our thinking. We can have good thoughts. We can have thoughts of faith if we allow and feast upon the Word of God. James chapter 2 and verse 18 says this, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" James here, quote, tells us that there is something more than just the way we think. There is just something more than what we think. It's got to penetrate our heart. It's got to be active in our life. See, Jesus is the object of our faith. And reality, what we obey and say about him and believe about him is true faith. But number four, real faith is not something you believe. It's not just something you believe. Some people view Jesus just as their belief. And what I mean by that is just their head knowledge. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. People believe in Jesus, but it's not something you just keep in your head. Notice again in James chapter 2 and verse 19. James says, "You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder." See, the demons believe, but we might say it's just head knowledge. That belief hasn't transformed them, hasn't changed them, hasn't prevented them from doing what they do in their evil ways. James is basically saying, you believe in God, big deal, the demons believe in God as well, but it hasn't changed them. And some people are like the demons. They have a knowledge of God. They believe in God, but that's about as far as it goes. We see an example of this in John chapter 12. Over in John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43, we see that there are some people who believe in Jesus. But notice what's going on. "Nevertheless, many of the, even of the authorities, believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from men more than the glory that comes from God." These people believed in Christ, but they would not confess him, meaning they would not admit to it. They would not proclaim it. They would not profess it. They would not follow him. Oh, they had head knowledge, but they didn't allow it to change their life. There's a lot of things that I can believe. There's a lot of things you believe. It doesn't make a hill of beans. It's not necessarily right or wrong, and it probably will not change us one way or another. For example, I believe George Washington was the first president of the United States, yet I'm not a Washingtonian. I do not live my life following his ways or his will. I am not a member of the Church of George, we might say. I believe that he was the first president, but that's about all that where that stays. on the contrast, I believe in Jesus Christ. There's something different about following him. I'm a Christ follower. I am a Christian, and I am a member of the Church of Christ. What's the difference? There is a big difference. See, the belief I have in Jesus Christ is a belief that transforms me. It's a belief in the living God. It's believing and drawing close to him that he has a message that's of salvation for the whole world. It's a message that he died for my sins, and I repent and was baptized, and I confess him every day of my life. I'm committed to him. I'm committed to his cause, and I'm going to support his cause. My checkbook is behind his cause. My activity is behind his cause. Every aspect. I don't do that for George Washington. There's a difference. So real faith, Bible faith, is more than just belief. It's more than just saying. It's more than just thinking. It's just more than feeling. See, it's the way of life. It's an obedience and a commitment to God and to death. Do we believe that Jesus laid down his life to redeem us from sin and make it possible for God to forgive us? Do we believe that to act in harmony with that is to love him and to show by every day's walk, every day living, that there is a Redeemer who sits in heaven at the right hand of God? Faith causes me to live, to love, and to be devoted to the service of Jesus Christ. Faith causes me to act. Notice again Hebrews chapter 11. It is this faith that caused these men and women to respond to God. You can just shortly look down this list in Hebrews chapter 11, and we see the transformed lives of these individuals because of faith. Look, at the very beginning, we see there was something different about Abel than there was Cain. What was the difference? Abel was a man of faith. There was something different about Noah than there was about the rest of the world. He was a man of faith, and it caused him to act. Not everybody in his world, and Noah's world, was building an ark. There was only one doing that. And we could go on and say the same thing about the people in each of their generations. There was something different about them, and that difference was faith. And so they offered a better sacrifice. They walked with God. They built an ark. They longed for a better country. And every one of these act in harmony with the object of his or her faith. See, the New Testament reminds us that faith is active. It's not just head knowledge. There is a response. I find it interesting that there are New Testament translators in Peru who are trying to get the New Testament in the language of some of the Peruvian tribal languages that are there. And there is this one tribe, and they had a hard time translating the word believe into this language. In fact, there is no equivalent existing word for belief in their language. But what they discovered in this language is to hear means to believe and obey. In their language, for example, the question, "Don't you hear his word?" If you said that, that's what we say in English, but to translate it would mean, "Don't you believe, obey his word?" And so there is no distinction to just head knowledge or saying or feeling or thinking. When they understand to hear, to believe, it means to act. That's what it means in our language. And the New Testament in Greek has a similar translation. For example, in John chapter 3, verse 36, it states this: "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." Notice how it's translated. Believes in the Son and obey come from the same Greek word. And the idea is if we believe in Jesus, we're going to obey Jesus. Or say it as the text says it, if we believe in Jesus and we don't obey him, then the wrath of God is upon us. Our belief or what is in our mind must result in action or obedience. Notice John 8 and verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Notice the word here, believe, or what Jesus is saying, is there a continued abiding, holding, dwelling, living out his word. And Jesus says, if you do that, you're my disciples. See, abide is an action, continuing to obey in Christ's word. And if we do this, we have faith. And Jesus says, we're his disciples. And this is what James has been stating in James chapter 2, verses 20 and 22. James tells us real faith, genuine faith, is something we do. And if it does not result in good works, it's not faith. Faith is active. Faith is obedient. Faith is a lifestyle. If someone can tell you have faith by the way you live, then you have a right, if someone cannot tell you by the way you live, you do not have, by your actions, you do not have faith, and they have a question, they can question your faith. You know, we have probably seen on a TV show, and it's happened on a number one, The Invisible Man. You can't see him, but you know he's there. Why? By the things he does. Faith is a similar way. Hebrews chapter 11 reminds us we can't see it, but there is a response, there is an action, there is a way we live that can be seen. So what we believe is how we behave. See, people say, well, for example, some people say, my body is very important to me. I try to stay healthy. Well, question, do you get plenty of rest? Well, yep, about three hours every night. Okay? Do you watch what you eat? Every bite of it. Do you exercise? Yep, I do sit-ups. I do half when I get up in the morning, the other half when I lay down at night. Take that idea to question our Christianity. Are you a Christian? People say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Do you read your Bible? Well, I follow along during the service. Do you pray? Well, I bow my head. Do you treat others the way Jesus would? Do you gossip? Well, you see, just professing and saying it, just thinking it, doesn't cut it. Bible belief is active. Bible belief is a response. Someone has said, if you were tried in a court of law for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? How would you answer this? What undeniable proof of God's saving work at the cross do people see in your life? See, Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. And this very verse reminds us that faith is active. If we hear God, we will obey his word. Someone has said the longest 12 inches that our faith has to move is from our head to our heart. And once your faith makes that move, it naturally comes out through your hands and your feet. That's real faith. See, real faith is just not something we say, not something we feel, not just something we think, or even just something we believe. See, real faith is centered around Jesus Christ and his salvation, and it influences every aspect of our life. So the question today is, what will we do with the message? What will we do with the lesson this morning? Will you believe it? That's good, not good enough. Will you think about it? Well, that's good, but not enough. Do you know it? Well, talk about it? Hope so. But let's do it. Let's live like believers. Let's the faith of Jesus Christ transform our lives. Let's be like Enoch. Let's be like Abel. Let's be like Noah. And when God tells us to do something, we do it because we love him and we have faith in him. You know, the first thing we need to do is obey Jesus. And so it might be that you're here today and you're not a Christian. And so faith is the first response. Faith in confessing his name, repenting of our sins, and putting him on baptism. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. And so it may be that you're here and you need to begin with faith this morning. You need to begin there and become a Christian. or maybe you've done that for some reason, you're not. Will you come to Christ and repent of sin? Come now as we stand and sing.